I tell men, I say, hey, listen, you can have a low maintenance wife, but it's like having one of those fake plants in your office. You don't have to water it. It looks real nice, but it won't give you any fruit. If you want a tree that gives true fruit, true apples, true pears, whatever it might be, you gotta maintain it. You gotta water it. You gotta dust it with insecticide. You gotta take care of it, and it'll give you fruit. And God says, be fruitful and multiply, not be fakery and just look good and have to dust the tree every once in a while.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Pastor Wayne Cordero. Yesterday, Pastor Wayne began a message where he showed us that the world is spinning out of control. Today, we'll see some of Satan's tactics to destroy our marriages and what we can do to fortify ourselves against his onslaughts. Here's Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, As the World Turns.
So one, it's actually by God's words used as an object lesson for the love between the father and his children. Secondly, marriage is not just some union. It is a sacrament, like communion, which means it's very holy unto God and he blesses it. And we see his design in this scripture. Let's read it together as it comes. Go. He who created them, formed from the beginning, made them male and female, and said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Now you'll notice, who created God, male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother. That's the core unit. That's how a family should be. You can see that, the design of God. Now we know that in our world sometimes that gets broken up, but you understand the basic value of that. And that a man shall leave or a woman shall leave their father and mother, they'll cleave to their wife or their husband, and the two shall become one flesh. Some commentators, when asked, what does that one flesh really mean? That when you have a child, that child is one flesh of both. And then they continue to propagate. That's the foundation. So when marriage is attacked, it's attacking an institution God created, and what God uses as an object lesson, it's a sacrament. It's not just a buddy system for benefits. And not only that, let me give you a little Greek lesson. Are you ready? In the English language, the word love, there's only one word for that, love. But in the Greek, there are actually four words on that. There's a word called agape, and that is God's love. There's storge. This is This is a family or familial love. When you have a child, you have a love for a child. And then eros, which is a romantic love. And then you have phileo. And phileo is a friendship love. You have Philadelphia. And it's Philadelphia is a city of brotherly love. Now, when you have four words, it breaks it down so you understand that there is a far deeper meaning. God's love. Love for a child and parent, or a parental love. And this is a romantic love. And this is a friend. Now, watch this. There is only one relationship that God created where there is a confluence of all four loves, and that is in marriage. Where God's love comes in to sustain that, keep them together, upholds that couple. You need God in that. And then there is that parental love when you have children, that romantic love that even bonds you together even more and you become friends. It's the only relationship where there is a consensus of all four of the loves. But what happens in today's society, because it's turning so quickly, they say, you know this God's love part? It's sort of aberrant. Let's just cut that out because we really don't need that. So let's remove God's love and let's just kind of go with the rest. And we'll just kind of make this one really strong, this Eros thing. And we can figure this one out. We'll figure it out. So really it's like a table where you have four legs to it. And we say, you know what, let's just take one of these legs away and it should be just as stable. And in fact, if we can't really have this one here, let's just take two legs away and let's build a nation on that. Let's build our future on that. Everybody okay? Oh yeah, it looks fine to me. And so the majority swings this bikkuri house, and if we're not careful, we get caught up into it. Why not? And wonder why people don't come to church and churches are losing members. Why? Because they don't need to come to church. The only difference is we go to church and they don't. Everything else is the same. But people are looking for what is God saying? And when God draws people to himself, which he is, they need to have a place where the people live as the city of God. That's what the Bible calls the church, the city of God. Because people live according to God's principles. And so we have biblical morals. Now you have a choice to go with the world's way and their laws or God's way and his laws. But remember, if you want God's blessings, you want to do it God's way. And God will enrich your relationship, but do it God's way. He'll bless and provide if you do it God's way. Let me tell you what's happening in the world today. Not only are we misdefining things, but do you recall in Numbers 22, there was a prophet named Balaam? Let me tell you about Balaam. He was kind of a renegade prophet for hire. That's what his calling card said anyway, prophet for hire. And the king of Moab, which really didn't like the Israelites, the king of Moab hired Balaam. And the king's name was Balak, but Balaam is hired by the king of Moab. The king of Moab says, hey, listen, I'll pay you money to curse the Israelites because, you know, God's been helping them. We need that to stop because we're going to attack them right down here on the road and we need to have God stop blessing them. In fact, ask God to curse them. And then God doesn't like us, so I'm going to hire you to ask God to bless us. Well, Balaam said, you know, I really can't bless what God is not blessing and curse what God is not cursing. I can't do that. I got to bless what God is blessing and curse what God is cursing. That's the way how it works. Okay, he said, how's about this? Oh, now we're talking, he said. So he gets on his donkey and starts down the road. Okay, I got a job to do. He gets to a bend in the road and the donkey puts on the parking brake. And he said, get moving. The donkey just stands right there. Get moving, I said. Donkey still doesn't listen. He takes out a switch and starts beating that donkey. I said, you need to get moving. And the donkey is just getting beat up. And he turns to Balaam and starts talking. Hey, knock it off. And instead of, you know, like you and I, we'd go, what is this? Balaam starts talking back to the donkey. It's one thing when the donkey talks to you. It's like weird if you start talking back. Well, you're not doing what I told you. Haven't I been a good donkey all my life? Yes. Then why are you beating me now? Because you're not doing what I told you to do. The donkey says, look ahead. And Balaam looks up and there's an angel of the Lord, a flaming angel of the Lord with a sword drawn. And the angel says to Balaam, if your donkey wouldn't have stopped, I was about to kill you. Now, listen carefully. A donkey talking is abnormal. But Balaam goes, it's kind of mainstream, isn't it? Everybody talks to their donkeys. Listen, when what should be abnormal is becoming normal and nobody even notices anything wrong, then you can be assured that there is an angel with a flaming sword about to come down on us. Do you understand the urgency of the times? And you have to understand, like the sons of Issachar, it says, understood the times and knew what Israel should do. This church, we must be as the sons of Issachar to say, okay, what is the devil counterfeiting and obscuring? Then what is God saying? Then instead of fighting against a counterfeit, let's recommit ourselves to the real thing. Because then we won't miss the obvious that God is trying to tell us. We just let the devil kind of identify it for us. But instead of being afraid and jumping ship, we're going to say, good, got it. This is what God is saying. And we zero in on it. And then the Lord says, perfect. It's exactly what the church is supposed to do. Because there's people hurting in the darkness and they're looking for light. And we need to have a candle burning for them. And so we are in an era of a Balaam church, where the world is asking us to bless what God is not blessing. And they'll even hire us. And if you don't, we take money away from you. We have to make a choice. Are we a prophetic church or not? Will we speak the word of the Lord, or will we talk out of both sides? There's a lot of churches that have been sold out. But let me tell you this, New Hope, as long as I'm alive, will be a people who will honor God and speak what God is saying. We have to. If we don't, no need church. Might as well go surf on Sunday morning. It's a lot easier. But God has called us on this brief earth that's just a few more spins and you'll be done. I mean, just think of how fast the last 5 or 10 years have gone. The next is going to be faster. We're here but for a moment. So we've got to say, okay, what's our purpose here? And stay with it, because the scripture says, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved, and he will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. I don't know about you, but I'm going for the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Those crowns are precious. And God has them available for you and for me. Now, can I give a challenging word to the men? Men, especially you, can I encourage you to take the lead on this? Because the Bible calls the men to be the head of the home. Not the wife, not the child, not the dog, not the cat, the men. And the smallest church in the world is the family. And Dad, you're the pastor. Men, you're the priests of this called the city of God. And if you're a dad or you're a husband in a family, and that's some of you here, I'd say you are pastoring the smallest church. How's your church doing? And this church will only be as healthy as a collection of all those churches. And man, you've been graced and anointed with a very important role to play. Don't abdicate that to the wife or to the kids or to the world. Oh. To the teachers, to the schools, the media, it's your responsibility. I want to challenge you to be champions and to rise up in these days and be men of God. This world is crying for men of God to rise up, and they are in this church. And I challenge you and encourage you to be men of God, to be men of God. Now, some guys go, Wayne, you don't know how high maintenance my wife is, though. I tell men, I say, hey, listen, you can have a low maintenance wife, but it's like having one of those fake plants in your office. You don't have to water it. It looks real nice, but it won't give you any fruit. If you want a tree that gives true fruit, true apples, true pears, whatever it might be, you got to maintain it. You got to water it. You got to dust it with insecticide. You got to take care of it, and it'll give you fruit. And God says, be fruitful and multiply. Not be fakery and just look good and have to dust the tree every once in a while. Reminds me of this story. Adam is talking to God, and he says, God, what are you doing? God says, well, I'm making you a helpmate. A what? Your wife. Oh, really? Well, what's it supposed to do? God says, your helpmate? Yeah. Oh, man, she will cook your food for you. She's going to clean your house for you. She'll change the linen on your bed. She'll vacuum the rugs. I mean, this lady, she'll have your children. And I'm going to give her a certain kind of plumbing that even in the middle of the night, you don't have to get up to feed the kids. She'll get up, and I created her to feed. She won't even wake you up. Oh, man, this is great. Yeah, and not only that, in an argument, she will always be the very first one to admit that she's wrong. Oh, Adam said, ooh, that sounds good. How much is that going to cost me? God says, an arm and a leg. Adam said, what can I get for a rib? And the rest is history. So men, don't settle for less. But you're the priests and you're the pastors. Can I encourage you? Let's all, young ladies, young men, let's commit to biblical morality. You'll hear all of the junk in the world. Well, you gotta kinda drive the car before you buy it, you know? Well, one, she ain't a car and you ain't buying her. Anna and I is gonna open up. I hope my wife doesn't hear this, but we didn't go to bed before we got married, and we've been married 41 years this month. It's possible, in other words, it's possible. It can be done. You do it God's way, God will bless. You violate God's way and ask Him to bless. It's like Balaam. So do it God's way. You say, well, Wayne, what if I already messed up? The question is not, how can I change my past? Listen carefully. The question is, what are you going to do with the rest of your life now that you've heard the truth and been challenged by God? Take it. Be men of God. Let's make this world a different place, and it starts with us. And if you will, you watch God say to you one day, well done, my good and faithful servant. You were wise and you kept the purpose for which I designed you. Come and enter in to the joy of your master. That's what we want to hear. Amen. We're going to take communion together. And if the ushers would get ready with the communion. What I'd like us to do is when they serve us the communion, if you would just take the bread and take the cup and hold it and recommit your life to what God is saying. This is obvious, biblical morality, biblical marriage, and good, deep, devoted families. Men, you're at the lead on this. And let's honor God and watch what God will do. It'll be absolutely amazing. Too many churches are just saying, well, whatever, let's just kind of prophesy for hire. No, no. We're going to learn from the scriptures and we'll be better because God left it there as an example for us. Will everybody like us? No. You got a couple minutes? Let me tell you. You remember Jonah, the story of Jonah? God tells him to go to Nineveh over here. Jonah says, no way. I'm going to go this way because I don't want to do what God really asks me to do. So he goes the other way, gets on a ship. He's running from God. God hurls a storm like no other storm. Those who are non-Christians on the boat are going, what is this? This is a different storm. It's a supernatural storm. And they start asking people, who is sinning against God? They actually ask. Jonah goes, excuse me. What are you doing? I'm running from God. You know what those guys said? You idiot. You idiot. Don't you know what you're doing? If you're a God-fearing man, you shouldn't do this. I know. You got to throw me overboard and everything will settle down. You know what they do? Good. They throw him overboard. But I want you to know, watch this. Those who were non-God-fearing people knew more about what our role is than we do. Watch this. You'll have people of the world say, come on and be like us. And once you do, they go, you idiot. It's because you guys don't have good marriages and you don't do this in your church stuff. That's why we're doing our own thing. We blame you. You see, they'll say, come on to our way. And as soon as you do, they go, you idiot. You're not supposed to be doing this. Look at your family. Look at you guys, you bigots, you hypocrites. The very thing that they allure you to, they will condemn you with. Why? because they know better that we need to be a people of God inside and out, and don't sway from that. And in the end, they'll come around and respect you because of it, because that's their light home. That's their milepost. That's their signage as to how to get to the throne. You mess it up, they get mad at you. Oh yeah, they can do it, but don't you do it. Why? Because you're called by God. Be the church. Even non-Christians know that. They'll try to pull you from it, and then they'll call you an idiot if you go. So be true to God. And as we take communion, let it be something that will say, I recommit myself to the purposes of God. I got one life to live. I'm going to live it well from this moment on. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, as we receive this communion, we're going to fix our eyes on you, not on what's going on around us. And we recommit ourselves to the purposes of God in this brief stay on this earth. And may there be many who will find their way home to you. So, Lord, may we be that signpost of truth. Help us to live our lives in a way that will honor God, not the world. Honor you. Thank you for that. In the day that he was betrayed, he took bread. After having given thanks, he broke it. Giving it to his disciples, he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. As oft as you eat it, remember me." And in like manner, after they had supped, he took the cup. After having given thanks, he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant shed in my blood for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you take this, remember me." See, some people say, "Well, Wayne, we learned it wrong. I mean, I'm doing stuff that I realize it's not God's best." We all learn stuff wrong. The question isn't, have you learned it wrong? The question is, when the truth is revealed to you, will you adjust to the truth, or will you adjust the truth to you? Well, I'm going to adjust to the truth. That's why I shed my blood, to give you a second, a third, a fifth, a tenth chance as you keep coming home to me. That's why I died, that I might shed my blood, that from glory to glory, you'll be transformed into the image of Christ. Let today be a transforming Sunday as we come again to become the people of God, the ones that he created us to be. Would you hold the cup and the bread just slightly above you, and let's pray. Lord, we raise this cup and we raise this bread in thanksgiving to you, that we partake in you so that, as it were, through this sacrament, we are becoming one with you, more like you. And we take both the bread and this cup so that you'll give us strength and nourishment as well as forgiveness and change us from glory to glory into your image. Thank you for helping us to be a people who understand the times, but we who fix our eyes on you as the world turns, that we would celebrate what you're celebrating and applaud what you're applauding, give trophies for what you give trophies for, so that we'll be a people who represent Christ. Thank you for this, and we recommit ourselves to the people you designed us to be, in Jesus' name, amen. Would you take the bread and the cup? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord God, for your goodness and grace. Thank you for your spirit of truth. Help us to be men and wisdom of insight and wisdom, not of judgment, but of God's love, that we understand how you created us, and we won't redefine, we won't parcel it down, but we will be a people of God. And as you draw people to yourself, may they find home here. May they find family here. May they find brothers and sisters and fellow disciples, that together we will walk into your very best for our lives, our futures, and our families. We give you praise in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And the church says, would you thank him with a clap offering?
Amen. You've just heard the conclusion of a message entitled, As the World Turns, by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship. Thank you for listening. Until next time, remember what Pastor Wayne said, let us strengthen what the enemy is trying to tear down so that we will be a church of the end times and a refuge where people can come to find shelter. For Pastor Wayne and all the Ohana at New Hope, God bless you and aloha.
Hi, this is Wayne Cordero. There's a brand new church starting up, New Hope West, right on our beautiful Bible College campus in Eugene, Oregon. It's time for the Word of God to live in each of us in a way that'll change our lives and the worlds in which we live. So join us at New Hope West on our Bible College campus, 2155 Bailey Hill Road in Eugene, Oregon. Two services, 9 and 11 a.m. We'll see you there.